Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm Kel Smith.
I'm Brandon.
I'm also Brandon.
That's actually Chris, and I'm Spencer.
And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. And this is where you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/KHZ Network. This is where you can find over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Today, folks, our show is going to be about Marvel's Ant-Man. And then we're going to talk about The Death of Superman Lives, the new bold documentary that goes all the whole length to talk about a movie that never existed. So obviously, with the whole Edgar Wright debacle that Marvel's Ant-Man went through, we're going to talk about kind of what-if factors while also talking about these two movies and did we like them, did we hate them, or are we in the middle? So first off, let's start with the movie that actually did get made, even though it was with a different director. Let's talk Ant-Man. My review of Ant-Man is on the site, so I'm going to ask everybody what everybody else thought.
Well, I wouldn't call it debacle. I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Well, I mean, debacle in that Edgar Wright left at the last minute and before production had to start, and they had to hire a director, like, in the next week or two to start production within, like, the next month or two, so the movie could actually come out on a scheduled release date. But, yeah, anyway.
True, yeah, true.
So Brandon, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was really good. I mean, I've never seen an Edgar Wright movie, so I guess I can't really compare the two of what it would have been like if he had directed it. But I thought that the guy who did, what's his name?
Peyton Reed.
Peyton Reed. I thought he did a good job, yeah.
Chris?
Peyton Reed, who was just coming off of his success of Yes Man.
The breakup and Bringing On.
He's not
Down With Up. That's a great movie.
Okay. I think it's, you know, it's funny because, like Brandon said, I did enjoy this movie. I think it's actually one of the funner Marvel movies.
More fun. But go ahead.
You know, fuck
Nobody
you.
Cares anyway. About grammar.
Who cares? Anyway, it was one of the more fun movies, Marvel movies that have come out recently. And, you know, for what it is, I'm actually kind of glad it turned out the way it did, considering, like what you said, switching out directors and then just, like, having to quicken the pace of production. So I think it turned out pretty good.
Go ahead, Spencer, and then I'll get to mine.
I definitely think it turned out very well for what they had. It probably could have been better if given more time and they had more time to find a director and then work on the script. But for what they made, I thought it was very enjoyable. And I might get crap for this, but I liked it better than Age of Ultron.
Oh, me too. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. I liked it about the same as Avengers Age of Ultron in that it's not a great movie, but in terms of... But, like... Everyone keeps saying, in terms of what we got, I think it's a really good movie. I think it's the best. Actually, I would argue it's the best movie of where a director had to leave at the last minute. And then there was a switch up, you know, weeks before production. You know, because there's been movies like this before, like the Benicio del Toro Wolfman movie and X-Men The Last Stand. And even Waterworld with Kevin Costner.
Classic. Not really.
I think out of all these, it's actually the better.
And to clarify too, I think that's probably the second best out of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
I would really second best.
Second to Guardians.
I wouldn't say that, but you know.
I think it's in top five for me.
I would say top five. Yeah.
I don't think the Marvel Cinematic Universe really weighs it down in this movie. Like, it fits perfectly with what it's doing. Like, I'm one of those people who always complains about why the Avengers never helped out in Winter Soldier. That's not a flaw. It's just that I'm always wondering what's the point of actually having this universe if there's going to be stuff like that. And, you know,
I mean. Well, yeah, it's like you got to justify. Well, we want to make standalone stuff, but we have to. It's weird, and I know they kind of have to write things out of, you know, out of the way to explain. But yeah, like you said, Ant-Man, I think, did a good job of actually incorporating it into Pym's character, his disdain for the Avengers and what they are.
Yeah.
To kind of like want him to say, no, this is a solo job. I don't want the suit getting into Tony Stark's hands. So I thought that
or Hydra.
Or Hydra.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. This is a spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
This is a spoiler. This is a spoiler podcast.
What about Hydra? What about, I don't know the stuff like
it. We're now into spoiler territory. Okay, well, but
now that we broke the spoiler.
I've seen the movie. I still know what you guys are talking about. So I guess that
gives you an idea of what. If everybody shut up, I'll explain.
Sure, but for the listeners.
We'll do it later. Let's do it for 2 weeks. Let's discuss.
Hydra people show up at the end.
They do.
Yes, they want to buy the yellow jacket.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Yeah, when Darren. Or Corey Stahl's
Darren
character,
Cross.
Darren Cross. Yeah, he's showing everybody the yellow jacket. Then the members of Hydra and that one guy from S.H.I.E.L.D. from the very beginning scene, the flashback scene, he shows up and then he tries to sell it to Hydra because he's a douche.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, back to the movie, though. I mean, I liked it because it didn't feel like a superhero movie until the last 30 minutes of it, really. It was a heist movie up until that point, and that's what made it so good for me. I mean, it all made sense.
It's a standard heist movie.
Right.
Well, standard in that, like, it follows the standard
rules
of a heist movie, that kind of thing.
But it's also super funny, especially with Michael Peña, who steals the movie.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
It's like, we need his character to get his own spinoff.
Oh,
like,
I would watch that 100%.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix series. The entire episode is just him doing the telephone game scenes, you know, where he's like relaying, like, this person said.
So I know this guy that knows this girl that knows this guy that knows this guy that told my cousin that knows this, that there's this guy looking for you. And he said, yes.
The lip syncing part was awesome.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Probably the best Stan Lee cameo in a long time.
I was wondering, we were getting towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, Stan Lee, there he is.
There he is.
Take that super flat cheek.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, I really don't know what it was watching the movie. I didn't really see what exactly made Edgar Wright want to leave the project.
A
lot of people's theories is the quote-unquote forced connections to the rest of the universe, but even then, the way it was in the movie, it didn't
felt natural.
It wasn't too much. Yeah, it was like it did have one foot in the rest of the canon, but it didn't feel like too intruding on the actual story, so I don't know why he...
I mean, I'm always complaining about the forced connections to the Marvel universe, but I felt that was natural. I mean, so even me, it wasn't...
Yeah.
Didn't bother me at all.
I think the original story... Well, for me, from watching the movie, I feel like Edgar Wright wanted Scott Lang to be a much more bolder character. Like, he didn't want it to just be like... Like, he wanted Scott Lang to actually be a criminal. Like, actually not be a very... Not be the guy that's like a Robin Hood character. I think
not like the loving father for his daughter.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like that. Like he... Like
kind of like an anti-hero, probably.
Yeah, he wanted a bit more anti-hero, more...
Oh, God, an anti-hero.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Boom.
They will be on this show for the remainder of the day.
I think Edgar Wright was kind of looking for more of the anti-hero and also wanted to kind of delve into Hank Pym, you know, not being a great father to Hope or a great husband to Janet.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to delve more into, like, the, you know... Like meaner side, more darker side of the characters, while also doing a heist movie.
No.
That wouldn't work. I mean, I don't
know.
Like, I think that's just my theory.
We can come up with theories. And the only way we're gonna know is if Edgar Wright or Marvel actually comes out and gives the specifics. You know, I mean, personally, I've always thought it was just that he himself just didn't care anymore. Like he started, then realized that I don't want to make a superhero movie anymore.
That's probably honestly.
And then
all
he just left. How long ago did they come out? And
they
Edgar
came
Wright
out
came out on stage?
Comic-Con 2006.
2006, and it's what 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about that for a second. 9 years. Maybe he just got sick of waiting, or he just after that time the passion for. Any idea that he had for Ant-Man, he was just kind of like, I don't care.
Well, Ant-Man was supposed to come out like 2013. It was supposed to be like one of the first movies in the
phase two. Yeah, it should have been a phase one movie, I think.
It was either going to be like a late phase one or early phase two because he wanted to go ahead and direct Scott Pilgrim, and then he was going to do Ant-Man because Scott Pilgrim was a bigger movie.
Right.
He could kind of build on to that. But one of the producer, one of his like producing friends that had been working with him since his like British TV days got cancer, and they all made a commitment to finish the Cornetto trilogy eventually. So I think they decided to do World's End and World's End first, then Ant-Man. And I think when he got done with Ant-Man, Marvel had basically decided to we're gonna basically do this as a television series. We're gonna do this as a long series of films that all interconnect, that all have something to do with each other.
I thought that was planned like way before then, though. That was like planned in like 2004.
Well, I think it wasn't as bad. It wasn't.
No,
as
they
big
were
of a
saying
deal.
They had like a broad plans. Like if they did go successful, they. Yeah. I bet you anything. Back in 2004, they said if this is successful, they're essentially copying their comic book marketing into their films. I think was always the plan. It was just seeing like, is it gonna work? It worked, and then it exploded.
Yeah. Now the films have an influence on the comic books too.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We're gonna have to wait for Edgar Wright himself. Sorry, we're gonna have to wait for Edgar Wright himself to explain why he left.
If you want more of an anti-hero, I'm all for that. Usually, like that's my main complaint against Tony Stark's character in the Iron Man movies is that in the comics he was more flawed. But
yeah,
for this MCU,
MCU Tony Stark,
they don't want
flawed
characters.
Yeah.
Well, they are. He is in the most recent one. Well, overall, though, he's more of the kind of funny character, the kind of comic relief. Not comic relief, but he's more of a lighthearted kind of, you know, much more in the comics. I mean, he was an alcoholic in the comics, so it's very different.
I don't know. We got to wait till next May.
You might
get the Tony Stark you finally want.
That's true, yeah. I mean, I feel like...
Screw you, Steve Rogers.
And he like, throws a punch at Steve, like, in a drunken stupor.
I feel like DC, you know, flawed characters
Spider-Man.
Are kind of their thing.
Yeah, he's Spider-Man in the face instead.
DC is good at the anti-heroes. Like, Suicide Squad will have that next year, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
I actually think, like, real quick about Suicide Squad, I thought that the Suicide Squad was going to be, like, 5 or 6 people. It looks like there's, like, 20 of them.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Usual Suspects, really. I thought it was going to be like that.
Yeah, but I'm like, that's a lot. That's a lot of characters.
So, speaking of now that we're kind of going to Marvel in general, what does everybody think of Marvel as of right now? Because for me, my biggest issue with Marvel is that we're either doing these movies where we're not giving the story enough time to flow, because that's my big problem with Avengers, is that there's not enough time for everybody to kind of, you know, get a moment or the plot to just, you know, run smooth, because I feel like they're just kind of jamming everything into a movie. And then with Ant-Man, it feels like we kind of have to be safe. Like I mentioned, I feel like Scott Lang's character is a little too safe. Like, it's like, he's a criminal, but he was more the Robin Hood. Like, he was stealing information to give to the public. Like, it felt like he's a criminal, but he's not a bad guy. Or Marvel's still kind of, you know, dancing around the idea of, like, having strong female characters as heroes.
Well,
like, with Hope.
With the Ant-Man, most highest characters are, like, the main characters.
Dancing around.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of just, like...
They're pretty much up there saying, like, even at the end, she says, it's about damn time.
Yeah.
Well, it like, is. It is about damn
time. That was a whole
statement
on the MCU, because...
So, yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, just wait.
With most heist movies,
for
you
years
do root
for
the
that.
Character, the main character. Like, Ocean's 11, there are criminals, but you root for them. That's kind of the point of a heist movie. I mean, so he had to be the hero.
He had to be likable.
He had to be likable, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You could have done that. You could have made him more unlikable, but...
Yeah. But just in terms of, like, Marvel in general, going back to the female problems, like Black Widow, and now we finally have Hope, and then the ending credits scene, you have...
And don't forget, who's the girl in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Gamora.
Gamora.
Yeah. I thought probably out of, like, Black Widow and before Hope, I thought she was the best female character instead. The backstory on Black Widow helped with Age of Ultron, but not as well. Hopefully Civil War will expand some more on that. And then also with Marvel, their villains are usually weak. The only good one that has stood the test of time in the MCU right now is Loki. That's the only one. Ultron was okay. Yellowjacket, he's okay. He's like, oh, he's crazy.
All the villains have been okay, too. And that's another problem with Marvel that I find is they don't really want to do anything with their villains interesting, other than Loki and Obadiah from Iron Man.
Obadiah. Yeah. Actually, you know, just speaking of that, I just realized this. I think the reason why Loki remains like the better written villain of the MCU is that he's actually survived more than one film.
Yeah, he's been in three.
He's been in
like every other three. Villain.
Well,
like,
he's died twice.
Well, he's still whatever, but he He actually gets character arcs over multiple films, like the heroes do.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe going forward.
Well, maybe Thanos should get some more character development then, because where are we going to get him?
He's
going to be in.
Is that really possible, though? I mean,
well, that's my theory, is that hopefully how it goes well is that Thanos will actually be a primary villain in multiple Phase 3 films. Like, I could totally see him being the main villain of Thor 3 before Infinity War, and also possibly Guardians 2 again.
Yeah.
So then that way you actually, again, like Loki, he gets development over multiple stuff, especially now since that Ultron scene was showing, like, okay, now it's time to really start doing shit.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna do this myself.
So will this ever end? I mean, I'm just curious. Like, is there a Phase 4?
There might be, and there probably will be, but I will say this. Considering that Phase 3 does kind of end with a two-part Avengers movie, if you want that to be the ending, it will... I think Marvel will come out and say, like, hey, if you want this to be the ending, it can be an ending. But if you want to continue, like, with
personally,
the next
my three favorites have been kind of standalone contained, like Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, and even Captain America Winter Soldier was not that connected to the other movies. It was kind of standalone.
It'll affect the other films.
Yeah.
It did, but it wasn't like, it didn't involve the other characters. It was just about Captain America. So I kind of like standalone films in terms of this universe, but...
And I've been enjoying it so far. Like, ever since the first Iron Man, like,
I mean,
I've been on board.
I have never walked out of a Marvel movie going, Jesus Christ, what
Age
the
of Ultron, you didn't? Actually, I was with you. You did say that. Yeah, you did kind of, like, have that moment where...
I did.
It did kind of implode on itself. I mean, it does. It was an okay movie, but it was...
See, it's weird because a lot of people, like, don't like Age of Ultron for the same reasons that I like it, which is funny. I like the fast-paced nature of Ultron. I liked how it was just like boom, 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 because I already know all these characters. I know what they're like. I want to see the moments of them working together.
I didn't mind the fast pace. It's just it was just another evil robot. I mean,
another evil robot.
No, that's one of the most common plots in like science fiction. I mean, it's just.
At this point, I'm not really looking for these to be high art or to give
me
like
neither,
new
but I want
insight.
A good story.
I
want to
see a guy punch a guy in the face
and then
he makes some
curses.
But the reason why Transformers sucks is because I don't give a shit about any of the characters.
That's the reason
why
I didn't
scream all the time.
Yeah.
In all these other movies, it's like he punches the guy in the face, he says something sarcastic, I laugh, it's funny, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Less things explode.
My other problem with Age of Ultron is that my favorite character is Tony Stark, and his motivations in that didn't make any sense at all, like, for why he was doing what he did. I mean, I guess you could argue that it made...
Well,
I mean,
he wanted to protect against, like, another, like, alien invasion type thing.
Yeah.
He wants to... Because he knows he's mortal, you know, he can't live forever. He wants to create some kind of shield around the world so that even after he's gone, you don't need to rely on a shield or Avengers group. You just have this automated defense system to essentially just shoot aliens out of the sky.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, and that's what I'm saying, going into Civil War, that dynamic that they're setting up in how Steve still believes in the traditional hero fighting bad, punching dudes in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the dynamic of Civil War, other things, but I see that as like... In
so,
the long run, it's like, again, it's like, it's more of a TV show, like Hale said, than an actual movie.
And that's...
It's
and
like you have to watch
a big budget TV show.
For,
yeah.
And I love it. I am loving every second of it. Marvel, do not stop.
I mean, I've never seen the show. I've never seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. The first Captain America.
It's gotten a lot
better
than
Thor movies.
Oh, yeah. Season 1, I thought season 1 was okay, and it got better as it went along. Season 2 was great.
Oh, I love season 2. Can't wait for season 3.
Yeah.
So
Secret Warriors.
Yeah, they actually just did Chloe Bennett just posted a photo of her in her like quake hair, like it's cut and it looks really good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, earthquake powers.
So should we discuss how DC's gonna take over Marvel in the next 2 years?
I don't think so. I mean they might maybe on par. I don't know. I really don't know.
It depends on Suicide Squad, because first of all, Batman v Superman's gonna just dominate, but
that looks good too.
Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman flop.
I still have a theory that if everything goes wrong, they're just like, just make another Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
It's going to turn into, I bet you anything, it's like the Justice League movies are probably going to be like a series of Batman movies, kind of like the trilogy of X-Men movies was like Wolverine in the X-Men as opposed to full-on X-Men movies.
I'm all for that. I like X-Men movies.
Yeah. Speaking of Wolverine.
I do. I prefer X-Men, the X-Men universe over the Marvel universe, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
speaking of Wolverine, Hugh Jackman just posted his like a photo saying one last time he's holding
and
up
he's
the Wolverine.
Giving everybody
the middle finger. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, man.
Hopefully... What I want them to do, hopefully they do Death of Wolverine from the comics.
Well,
maybe.
I want Old Man Logan.
Logan or Death of Wolverine.
Just like
that's
say fuck it and just do Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
So, and there's a T-Rex running around.
So, awesome. So, we have to move on. We have to move on to our next topic. But what are y'all's final thoughts on Ant-Man? Like, what is the summary of your thoughts of Ant-Man?
Okay, I guess I'll go first. It's a fun movie. If you like fun and you don't mind spending 2 hours enjoying yourself, then watch it.
So it's like the equivalent of Fast and Furious 6 and 7 and 5.
Well, no. Fast 5 was good.
Okay.
My review is, I agree with Chris, it's a fun movie. You will enjoy yourself. Michael Peña is a lot of fun in this movie. Steals the movie. And it's just a great movie in general. That's all I got to say about it. All
right.
Yeah, Aaron. I really liked it. Probably second best for me in the MCU. If you like Guardians of the Galaxy, you'll really like Ant-Man.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. My thoughts are essentially it's a good movie. Like, it's actually, I think Peyton Reed did the best he could. I think Adam McKay did an okay script. What an achievement.
I think he did a pretty good job. I think, you know, I mean.
Well, I think he did the best he could under these circumstances. Yeah. I really would like to see what he could do if he had like 2 or 3 years to do a Marvel movie.
Ant-Man 2.
Yeah. But other than that, it's kind of a, you know, just an okay, like nothing entirely special movie. But I did have fun watching it, and I'm eager to see Paul Rudd as Ant-Man again. And Evangeline Lilly is...
Oh, yeah, she better be Wasp in Civil War.
Or Infinity War. Or any of the other movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could show up in Black Panther or something.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I'm perfectly good with that.
Oh, Black Panther. Now let's discuss Minions. So.
So.
I liked it. I'm not complaining. I like it.
You know, they say if you reverse all the dialogue in the Despicable Me and Minions movies, it's just saying buy our merchandise over and over and over again.
Buy our merchandise.
So now we're at midway through our podcast. For you, the listeners of the Youth Critic Podcast, Audible is
all three of you. I'm sorry, Kale. Did I step on your pride?
There's at least 20.
So for you, the listeners of the Youth Critic Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day trial.
Use your words, Kale.
30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Spencer Cantor will recommend a book.
Cantor?
Wow. Cantor. Sorry, it's my... Okay. I'm tired and my
kill them.
And I'm my tongue is twisted.
Kale's gonna sit the remainder of this podcast out.
Would you personally recommend? What book are you personally recommending?
I would recommend Paper Towns. I read the book, haven't actually heard it on Audible, but I probably bet it's amazing. So I'll give that a try and give you actually a really honest review. But still, read the book, do the Audible, and then go see the movie. It just came out last week. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really good.
Yep. So
that was a contradictory recommendation. You're welcome.
So, yep, folks, on audible.com, check out Paper Towns, written by John Green and narrated by Dan John Miller. And now let's talk about... The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? John Schnepp's documentary that he's been working on for a long time.
Pretty much. Superman finding a freaking big-ass spider.
Yeah.
Pretty much. A Thagarian snare beast.
There we go.
So, does anybody want to... Before we get to that, does anybody want to describe the plot?
Of the documentary?
Does anybody want to describe what the documentary is?
Okay, I'll explain it. They wanted to make a Superman movie...
Back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s, and it didn't happen. End.
That's the plot. Yeah.
The
plot.
Spencer will go into more
explain
specifics.
The plot of what they were trying to make. They were trying to do the comic, The Death of Superman with Doomsday, and then how Superman dies, and then he gets, like, morphed into, like, a spaceship, and he gets, like, this black suit, and he just looks freaking crazy.
He's resurrected.
Yeah, and then he fights a giant spider, and that's the end.
To be a little bit more specific, the back in the 90s, Tim Burton and Nicolas Cage were going to make a Superman movie that was going to be completely different than...
That was going to say F you to all superhero movies.
Yeah, it was going to be completely different than anything we've seen before and probably will ever see. And they were going to try to make a movie, like Spencer said. It was going to be about the death of Superman. The comic line with... is it comic line or graphic novel?
I guess comic book line.
Okay.
It was a story.
They were going to adapt, like, the first half is that, like, the first half of their movie is that, and then they were going to do a second half where Superman is resurrected, but he has to fight now Lex Luthor and Brainiac.
Cyborg Superman might have been in there, I don't remember.
Maybe.
That was in the comics. I never read that.
He's resurrected through Kryptonian technology.
Yeah.
Spaceship. And, yes, and then...
K? I think it's what it was.
What?
I think his spaceship, his name was K.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
But yeah, and then at some point in the movie, Brainiac turns into a giant ass spider, and Spider-Man has to fight
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Superman? Brainiac turns into robot Spider-Man.
Okay.
And then at some point, Brainiac fights polar bears for some reason.
No. The polar bears were the guardians of
the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a contradictory statement.
That was pretty funny. So. Yeah. Just so people know, Kevin Smith was the first one to actually write the screenplay with this.
The doc starts
with
the him.
First person, we weren't sure who wrote the screenplay because it never told us. But Kevin Smith wrote a new screenplay though after reading that one.
Right.
Like it. And it was kind of based on his screenplay. Maybe was that was it?
Well,
based
they
on
borrowed
his?
They kept elements that John Peters wanted to have,
Thangarian snare beast.
You know, it's funny because you know I like the documentary.
Let's talk about the quality real quick.
I like the documentary. It functioned as a documentary. I don't really have any notes other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, there were interviews. I don't know how to review a documentary.
Me neither,
but
actually. Yeah, that's
it's
good.
Just like
well,
they
I,
talked
let's
about
talk about
something.
The yeah. like how. Well,
I mean, I love the amount of I didn't know how much footage
was
there.
What did you get out of it? Like, what information? Like, and did you like find it interesting? Like, that's how you.
The film industry is a very dark place.
That's why it's a very weird place.
It
is. It's a very weird place filled with weird people.
Even Tim Burton making a movie, he can't make a movie if he wants to. That's really.
I wish it would have gotten made. Because, like, I think from the very beginning of the documentary, when Zack Snyder was making his Man of Steel movie, every time everybody complained
Bryan Singer's Superman Returns.
It was,
Bryan Singer, sorry. When they complained about the superhero costume or whatever, he showed them a picture of Nicolas Cage as Superman. And that's the picture that everybody saw. But then we actually saw it further, and it actually looked like it could have been awesome.
Yeah, to finalize.
Well, how many times can you really make Superman before it gets old? I mean, it's like, it's just...
Well,
so
this
far,
one
we've
have been
seen
interesting,
several.
I
it
think.
Would have been, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This would have been a new take on it. We've seen Superman done the same way almost like three or four times. I mean, well, three different actors.
Well, there's really been, all in all, since Bryan Singer's movie kind of takes place in the Richard Donner universe, really just two incarnations.
That's true.
Yeah.
But Superman Returns is a lot different than the originals. I mean,
first,
we all have to admit that the original Superman from '78 is a pretty bad movie. I mean, the nostalgia shouldn't. Like clouder vision. I mean, it's really
now I'm waiting. Now, I'm waiting for the internet comments to come in.
Oh, I know.
Destroy
well,
it's we're gonna get internet comments.
It's age pre. We're
gonna get one comment.
We're gonna get one angry
Superman.
It's gonna be Superman fanboy 97.
I mean,
telling us why Brandon Routh's Superman was the best incarnation ever. Is that how he nailed the character of Superman?
Or that The Quest of Peace was the best movie ever?
Quest of Peace, yeah.
No, seriously, I mean, like, Tim Burton's Batman from '89 has aged a bit, but Superman in '78 has aged very badly. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You guys have seen it recently, I mean...
You will believe in terrible green screen and wires.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion on the documentary is it's very well done. Like, it's... I think the information is very... You know, it's nice. And it also has kind of this message of... That I'm kind of critiquing the internet for is that we really do critique everything or prejudge everything before we actually see the product.
It's true.
I mean, look at what we've done with this new Fantastic Four movie.
Fantastic Four movie?
Exactly. Yeah.
The new one from Josh Trank. I mean, just look at all the criticism that we have put on that one movie.
Yeah.
And without having even seen it. I mean, we have... we have literally bitched about everything. The casting decisions.
Oh, my God. Michael B. Jordan Black... Human Torch.
Or Jamie Bell.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I
don't mind. I didn't give a shit.
I'll go see it. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, the internet. A lot of the internet, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
Stanley actually came out and actually said he's like, I don't care. I support it.
I mean, it has gotten to the point where even Josh Trank has said in an interview, like, I left Star Wars just so I wouldn't get beaten the shit out of by the internet. I have a theory that whole thing,
it was one guy that just, like, copy and pasted it all throughout the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, no one actually complained. It was just
the one guy.
That could be an interesting theory, but still, it made a statement.
No, it's probably right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But,
just a kid in his face, like, Mom, brand me some pizza rolls. Gosh, I hate you, Josh Trank. You suck. Then, Human Torch is supposed to be white. Racist.
White. And Reed Richards is supposed to be...
These are supposed to be older characters. Oh my gosh.
Reed Richards never made a teleportation device out of 70 Nintendo 64s.
That's, yeah.
And why is the thing so small? Why
does he not have a penis?
Okay, well, I think we've gone off on a tangent a little bit.
So back to Death of Superman Lives, because that's kind of going back to what we were talking about. I think that's what John Schnepp is, one of the things he's trying to say with the documentary is because everyone saw that photo of Nick Cage just looking high, you know, in the Superman suit.
Yeah, Mom, here's my Superman.
And everyone thought it was the worst thing, but really...
In reality, back then, Nicolas Cage was a pretty good actor. I mean, we all make fun of him now for a Ghost Rider, but back then he was a pretty good actor.
We make fun of him for Ghost Rider.
Yeah, the most recent movies.
I was going to say, we only make fun of him
for Ghost Rider.
Rider,
I think. That was probably the first one where all went downhill for his, you know, acting.
I don't know.
Career,
I think he's at his best when he's Ghost Rider, because he gets to be really? Fun.
Yeah, when he's
Spirit,
crazy.
If you want to watch Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage, Spirit of Vengeance is one of the
I haven't seen that. Yeah,
it's so fun just to see Nicolas Cage.
I thought the first 20 minutes, I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. It looks like shit. Anyway,
oh, it does. It's just it's like if you just love Nicolas Cage, whatever you want to call it.
I don't even know what the plot of that damn movie was.
Anyway,
he would have worked as
sacrificing
Superman,
a kid or something.
He could have been Clark Kent though. I mean, people have to, you know.
Yeah, it could have been. And also, I think even Sandra Bullock was mentioned for Lois Lane.
That was a bad idea. That would have been a terrible idea. Yeah.
And they were still going to keep Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Brainiac was Christopher Walken.
Awesome. Yeah.
Superman.
Doomsday, I think, was just going to be a stunt guy, because that's really all that Doomsday, the Doomsday machine is.
His only point in life is just to kill Superman.
His only point is just to really, actually not just kill Superman, just kill everything.
No, he was written to kill Superman. That's pretty much it.
And Chris Rock was Jimmy Olsen, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Like it would, like for me, this documentary sounds. It sounds like it could have been a really awesome movie. And
it's just everything else that happened to Warner Brothers at the time is what. Oh yeah. It wasn't what the.
Well, it
actual
wasn't just
film.
Warner Brothers that was suffering. It was almost everybody.
Oh right. Well yeah. But for Warner Brothers, yeah, it was just, it's funny because at first I thought the documentary was going in the direction that it was the film itself that caused it not to get made, like the craziness of it. But it actually kind of got to a pretty cool level for what the film was going to be. It just sucked that it was being made at the time of all the crap that was the late 90s.
Yeah, it's, for me, you know, yeah, and, well...
Well, the late 90s had some pretty good movies. Just the superhero movies were
it's
pretty
just there
bad.
Were a
that
lot
was
of
the,
big,
yeah.
the Batman
bigger
movies.
Budget
yeah.
and
movies
dumber films.
That just did not make any money domestically.
Well, and no one cared about them.
Yeah,
there was nothing to care about.
It's just that they had too much of failures. That and it's funny because I think that even then, it's like, I know why they held back on that, but I'm like, it's a superhero movie. It probably would have made.
Yeah.
Well, back in the 90s, superhero movies were still like a niche thing. Like,
yeah,
it was Superman
that is
and Batman
true.
That was really only doing it because there wasn't a Spider-Man or an X-Men.
X-Men came around in 2000.
Yeah.
That was
Yeah, I still think it would have made money. They just didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
I blame Joel Schumacher. That's why I blame Batman
and
Robin. That's
Joel
Schumacher
screwed everything for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So. My only other critique of the documentary that I can say is I wish I would have known.
Not enough John Peters?
Yeah, not enough Peters.
Giant spiders.
or giant spiders. But I still don't really get what the story would have been. Like, I know it would have been a more darker or more 90s
take, or more science fiction. Online. You can read the scripts.
They can't read the screenplay to us during the documentary. That wouldn't work.
I know, but like, I still, like, what would have been the end goal?
The
of the movie? Like, what would
money? It's always money.
No, I mean, what
the quest
what
for cash?
No, what would have been the ending?
Superman
like, what would have
quest for cash?
Like, I wanted to know more about the story, you know, rather than the visual look, or because you can describe a visual look in like a minute of what the movie would have been. Like, just show random art.
Well, that's why I was thinking. I mean, the scripts. Artwork. This is what I was kind of hoping for, considering the past few DC animated films that they've put out direct to video have been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, we have the script, we have concept art, we have a visual reference to what this movie was going to look like and be like. I kind of want a DC animated to
make a film.
Make a
live
animated
action movie.
Yeah.
Or,
no.
Oh,
no.
No. Well,
animated
no.
Film.
Okay.
An animated because that's cheaper.
Yeah.
You
right.
Know, than getting a cast together. So, and all the other stuff that goes along with
well,
it.
Well, you can do a voice.
Killing joke.
Do like a 90-minute animated movie of this death of Superman using the same scripts and even like, I don't know, pay money to get Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas
to voice
Cage has to come in and do Superman.
Tim Burton could direct.
Oh,
I think,
God,
and then
yes,
that
yeah.
way we could actually have this movie and like get a like a.
Hey, maybe it'll happen.
Get a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, get
going.
It. Yeah, you could do Kickstarter. You could do it through Kickstarter, and that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was basically funded through
yeah.
Kickstarter.
Let's get Kevin Smith to do it.
Actually, yeah, this whole movie was done on Kickstarter,
right,
Indiegogo.
Yeah. So there was enough interest for it to kickstart and be a success. The actual an animated version of the film, I think, could even do better.
So. What are y'all's final thoughts on the movie?
On the movie, is the Superman or the documentary?
The documentary.
The documentary. I thought it was a fun inside look into a different...
A what if.
An era
or alternate
of
world.
Yeah, an alternate world, an alternate Superman, and an era of movie making that I don't really have an idea of. I have a better idea now of what the climate of movie making was in Hollywood.
And that's really what the documentary does best, is it basically describes the climate of Hollywood making.
Hollywood movie making.
Yeah,
back
it,
then, yeah.
It describes everything down to a T of what was going on, and also is kind of a look of what we have now going on. Like, I think it basically is not only works as a retrospective, but also looks at what we have now currently working with us.
And it's in like the what-if scenario, just to say this real quick.
Yeah, like Ant-Man is, like, what if Edgar Wright really did make a Ant-Man movie?
Well, that's not what I was going for. But, like, how if this movie did come out and it's more weird, stylistic, kind of what it was going to be, that probably would have opened more, like, less safe superhero movies.
Yeah, maybe there
might have
been more.
There would have been more
lesser-known superheroes. Like, we might have got Guardians sooner or something
or
like that.
Or
some of the other crazier offbeat superheroes you don't really know that much about get their own movie.
Yeah.
So by not existing, it changed movie history forever.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to... So, folks, we're going to end the show today with a segment.
We're at the end already?
So with Minions in the movie, I know.
So we're gonna end the show today with a segment I like to call See and Tell, where we just describe, like, what movies have we seen recently? Like, just really quickly, though. Really quickly.
Hey, I saw a great indie movie called Ant-Man.
yeah.
You should check it out.
It was bite-sized fun.
Yeah.
So did anybody see anything else?
In theaters or on DVD?
Just anything.
On DVD?
Saw
Intolerable Cruelty by the Coen Brothers on DVD. It's kind of a random movie, but that was good. Was really
so fun. Would you recommend it?
Oh, I would. Yeah. Oh. If you like the Coen Brothers, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
All right. Spencer?
Me and Kale, we saw a early screen of Straight Outta Compton. Just a quickie review. It's amazing. When it comes out, go watch it.
Yep, it is a really amazing movie. We'll talk more about that when it opens on August 14th or whenever the movie comes out.
Whenever.
Chris, did you have a recommendation?
Ant-Man.
Oh, okay.
That's all I've seen. That's all I've seen so far. The last movie I watched was Ant-Man. All
right. A couple weeks ago, Trainwreck opened, the new Judd Apatow, Amy Schumer movie. I really liked it. I thought it was a really good movie. It's not Apatow's best work, but it's actually. But I did find enough like drama and comedy in there that I really liked.
Is it better than Knocked Up?
What?
Is it better than Knocked Up?
Because
it's my favorite by him.
It's not as good as Knocked Up, but it is pretty. It's a really good Judd Apatow, like if you really were kind of annoyed by his last two movies because of their length or. Mm-hmm. Or just like it doesn't, or nothing really mixed well. I feel like this is a good like comeback for Judd Apatow.
Okay, cool.
So, okay, folks. That's it for the Youth Critic Podcast this week. We will be back next week to talk about Mission Impossible and Vacation. So, yeah.
Wally World!
So, yeah.
We're going to Wally World.
You can find this podcast on the KHZ Network Podbean page.
Podbean page.
And you can also find my reviews on my blog, theyouthcritic.weebly.com. And we will be back with you next week.